reconvene in open session. May I have a report out to the council, please? Closed.
Yes, we wanted to close at 8:33. We came out at 9:25, and there's no reportable action.
Thank you. Invocation. A cheery face.
Heavenly Father, we gather today to conduct business of the county. We're grateful for those who serve in a variety of places in the county. And we just continue to pray that they be encouraged in their work. We see a full agenda for today and many reports. And Father, we pray that all comes together. And for the decisions that need to be made, give understanding and just help with the knowing of what needs to take place for our county. We're still aware of the fires within the county and the firefighters who are working so hard, so diligently, and we just pray for their safety. Father, we pray for rain that might help this situation in our county. We're truly grateful for all that you do for us. We express that gratitude, and we say that we appreciate all those things. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Wendy, roll call, please.
Brady. Supervisor Chris.
President in person.
Thank you. Supervisor Kopseff.
Here.
Supervisor Valenzuela.
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren.
Present.
And Supervisor Helm.
Present. All right, 9 a.m. I'm going to be opening a public hearing. I'm not sure the...
Should be the same protocol.
I'm looking for a title of the public hearing, yes. Redistricting on public hearing. And Wendy, are you reading the order?
Good morning.
Morning.
Florida, I am County Clerk, and with me I have Holly Vaughn, County GIS. And we are before you today to have a public hearing, the first of many in our redistricting series. And on the phone, we have Liz Stitt from Redistricting Partners, who's going to be doing a presentation today, along with Kenny Shigatani as well. So I will turn it over to Liz.
And is there a PowerPoint or something, I guess?
Yes, there is a PowerPoint.
Okay. Liz is muted. I'm going to find Liz first. She has her camera on.
Can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Good morning.
Hi, my name is Liz Stitt. I am a redistricting manager for Redistricting Partners. I'm going to go ahead and share my screen to allow myself to present the presentation. So, 1 second, please. So can you all see that?
We are sharing our screen, which should be the same presentation that you were trying to share.
Okay, excellent. Then I'll let you know when I need to switch slides. So let me just get everything. Excellent. Okay, so welcome everyone. This is Siskiyou County's 2001 redistricting outreach hearing. My name, like I said, is Liz Stitt. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And are you able to switch it? Oh, there we go, excellent. And just a quick note, it is so critical for the public to be a part of this process. So we're so thankful to have people here today. We'll be going over how to give testimony, what's a community of interest. So we hope that you're able to share. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So we will be talking about the Board of Supervisors, their lines, and obviously we will be working on redistricting all the districts. So this is countywide. Go ahead and go to the next slide. And today we will be talking about a few things. So redistricting basics, what it is, why it's important, the traditional redistricting principles, communities of interest. We'll be talking about Districtor, the mapping tool that the county will be using for community outreach. And then we'll end it with the public hearing schedule. So next slide. So let's get into it. What is redistricting? Why does it matter? So like the slide says, redistricting is the process of adjusting lines every 10 years after the release of the US Census. So folks tend to be a little bit more familiar with the federal and the state legislative redistricting. So congressional lines need to be rebalanced and the assembly and state senate seats, but absolutely local governments need to rebalance their districts as well. So just like Siskiyou did in 2011, we're gonna go through the process again. And beyond creating districts that are equal population, redistricting also serves to empower local communities and preserve voting rights. Next slide. So what we use during the redistricting process is these traditional redistricting principles. They have been upheld by the courts and they're in state laws as well. So as you can see on this slide, this is a ranked list of criteria according to the Fair Maps Act. And these are here to prevent gerrymanders. So the first one is each district has to be relatively equal in size. And we're talking about equal in people, not citizens, not voters. If you think about who's using the resources, it's everyone, right? So, and the next one is contiguous. This is a word that you're really not going to see outside of redistricting. Basically, what it means is that you're keeping the district whole. You're able to draw the district with just one line. So there aren't any flyaway pieces. There aren't any islands outside of it. And then the next one is maintain communities of interest. And we'll be going a lot more into what a community of interest is in a moment, but a way to think about it is they are a group of people, a neighborhood, a community, who would benefit from being kept in the same district. And the next one is follow city, county, local government lines when practicable. And finally, keep districts compact. And that doesn't necessarily mean keep it small. It just means the size of it needs to look compact. So it's not all over the place. Go ahead, go to the next slide. So let's get a little bit more into what a community of interest is. So a definition of a community of interest is it's a neighborhood, community, or a group of people who have a common policy concern and would benefit from being maintained in a single district. And importantly, a community of interest, or COI, C-O-I, you might hear me refer to them as that, it's defined by you. So it's the local community members. I can't tell you what your district, what your community is like. That's why it's so important to have the public involved in this process. Go ahead, go to the next slide. Oh, can you back up a little bit? Back up. Can you go to slide 8? Thank you, perfect. So another way of thinking about communities of interest is they're like the building blocks of districts. And they could include ethnic and language minorities groups, but this is supposed to be a subjective and open-ended definition. to be as inclusive as possible. And importantly, under the Federal Voting Rights Act, there are protected classes, and that includes Latinos, Asians, and African Americans. Can you go to the next slide real fast? But importantly, I do want to point out that while communities of interest may include race, it cannot be the predominant factor in drawing district boundaries. Next slide. I'll go back one. Perfect. So communities of interest, I wanted to include this slide to show you guys how inclusive and how broad a community of interest is. So it could include historical communities, tourism areas, neighborhoods, religious facilities, media markets. This is a small list of what it can be, just to get you thinking about your own communities of interest. I usually like to say, if you can make the argument that your community is a community of interest, then it probably is. Go to the next slide. Unless it's one of these three things. So under the Fair Maps Act, it explicitly prohibits these three groups from being considered as a community of interest. And that includes political party affiliation, incumbents, and political candidates. And that is there to prevent political gerrymandering and incumbent gerrymandering. Again, we want to keep this process transparent and fair and above board. So that is why those three groups are not included in the process. And then the next group of what's not considered a community of interest, that's not prohibited by the Fair Maps Act. It's just really, really hard to draw. So groups of similarly minded people who do not share a geographic location or communities of interest that are countywide. When we are drawing lines, we want to make sure that we're protecting communities of interest so we're not diluting their voices. But if a community of interest is like 90-100% of a county, that's going to be hard for the map drawers to incorporate. Go ahead and go to the next slide. So these are three questions that we like to ask folks to get them thinking about their own communities of interest. And we're also going to be getting into some examples over the next few slides. So let's talk about what you should be thinking about when you give your own testimony. So first and foremost, does the community have a shared culture, characteristic, or bond? When it comes to this question, personal stories are incredibly powerful to help you talk about your community and why it's important to you and the folks in your community. So what makes it unique? What makes it different from the surrounding areas around you? I've been hearing a lot of folks recently give testimony about how their community came together during COVID-19. Or how their community came together during wildfires. So those are just a couple of examples, but I've also heard testimonies about neighborhoods that come together during annual events or community centers and how people revolve around that in their community. The next question is the community geographic in nature? Can it be mapped? This is particularly important. We want to make sure that we aren't diluting the voice of Khois. So if you can give boundaries, streets, landmarks in your testimony, that would be incredibly helpful. And then finally, how would you describe the community's relationship with the county, and how is it affected by the policy decisions made by the elected officials? So let's go ahead and get into some examples. So if you go to the next slide. So a group of homeowners who live in Montague testifies to Siskiyou County's Board of Supervisors. Would this be considered a community of interest? Yes, It would be. So as I talked about earlier, we want to be sure that we can map this. And this is very distinct. And also, this is a group of people who would benefit from being placed in the same district. So they have common policy interests that would be able to be addressed in legislation or public services. So go ahead and go to the next slide. So a neighborhood association in Wairika's historic downtown district organizes and submits testimony on why their neighborhood should not be separated. Would this be considered a community of interest? Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. Yes, so this is a historical community. And also neighborhoods are often considered a community of interest, very important to keep them together when possible, and it should be considered when drawing maps. So go ahead, go to the next slide. So a group of farmers concentrated in the unincorporated areas in the county focused on ensuring that they have enough water for their crops. Would this be considered a community of interest? Go ahead, go to the next slide. Yeah, so absolutely. So again, this is a shared geographic location. We can map it, and they have the same need for services. Let's go ahead, go to the next slide. So a statewide group for people who are fans of the San Francisco Giants testifies to Siskiyou County's Board of Supervisors. Would this be considered a community of interest? Go ahead, go to the next slide. So no, this one wouldn't be. So we want to be able to, again, draw on the map. And this one goes well beyond the borders of the county. But also we want to make sure that the Board of Supervisors has an important impression on this community of interest. So in terms of the San Francisco Giants, the county's influence on them is not very strong. Let's go ahead and go to the next slide. So let's get into how you can give your own feedback. There are multiple ways, so you should be able to give testimony in person, online, through map drawing. So the first one is you can submit your own COI form. So this will be on the website. These forms are incredibly handy. It asks you step-by-step everything that the county needs to know about you and your community and how we can best protect it. Go ahead, go to the next slide. So we're also asking for online map submissions. There are two different types of maps that we're hoping to get from the public, and that includes community of interest maps. So you'll be drawing your community, the extent to where it is in Siskiyou County, and how it impacts, how the county impacts your community. But we're also going to be asking for district plans as well. We are waiting for the final census data to come out. We got the legacy data last month that is not finalized, and we should have finalized data beginning in about 2 weeks or so. And that's when people can really start drawing maps of the district. Go to the next slide. So Siskiyou County will be using Districter. This is an important way for you to be able to draw your communities. And I can come back to this in a second. I'm happy to do a presentation on how to use Districter. Totally up to you all. But this is a fairly easy system for the public to be able to draw their communities of interest or district plans. Go ahead, go to the next slide. And then in-person meetings, you will be able to draw on paper maps. So we'll have maps that are available for you with neighborhoods, and when we're drawing district plans, it'll have the number of folks in different areas so you can balance out the district in an appropriate way. Go to the next slide. And so, as you can see, this is just the first hearing of many. So September 7th, that's today, and then October 5th will be the next opportunity for people to have a board hearing about this. But keep in mind that you can always submit testimony online at any point during the process. And we will be sharing maps sometime in October as well. So once we have the finalized data, we'll be able to start sharing maps, and the public is more than encouraged to be a part of that process as well. So the public will be a part of this every step of the way. Go to the next slide.
Liz, I might interrupt for just a moment. This is Laura Bynum, the county clerk. We've also added the September 21st after hours meeting that will be held at 6 p.m. by county staff.
Okay, perfect. And so finally, everything about redistricting in the county, you'll be able to find on this website. So COI forms, districter will be on there. Once it's finalized, and the schedule for upcoming hearings and events. So that is your go-to website. And next slide. And that concludes this presentation. I'm happy to take questions or present on Districter if that's helpful, but I'm here to help.
Questions?
So at this point, we might want to see if there's anyone online that has a public comment during this process.
Okay. If you're online and wish to do a public comment, please raise your hand by pressing star 9.
Redistricting
public comment.
Do you want me to allow some of these other people that have been here all the time?
Just start with the first one.
Start with the first one.
We'll do general public comment in a minute, but this is for redistricting only at this point.
Mm-hmm. If your comment is about redistricting, you may unmute and make your comment now.
Hello?
If your comment is about redistricting, you may unmute and ask your question now. Phone number ending in 9474. If you have a question regarding the redistricting element, you may unmute and ask your question now. No one's responding.
See no comment.
Just really quickly, we'll be giving this presentation again in later meetings. So we'll again be happy to answer any questions in the future. This is just the first opportunity for folks.
All right. So, is there any correspondence?
No, none at the clerk's level.
leaving this hearing open, I believe.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to get through. It wasn't working. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Hi, I wanted to comment on the districting.
Could you state your name, please?
Yes, this is Holly Ann Hamster, and I live in Leeds. I didn't catch who the presenter was. I'm sorry, who is the presenter of this event? Or is this part?
It was Liz Stitt with Redistricting Partners.
Oh, okay, thank you. What I was curious is, when you mentioned non-citizens also count for districting because they're using our services, maybe you could give more details on that. Like, for example, would that be agricultural workers coming through seasonally and stuff? And then my question is, well, let me ask that, because how, so you could create a whole district of interest, a group of interest within a district based on, let's just say, for example, agricultural workers, or let's just say illegal marijuana growers, one of those two.
And correct me if I'm wrong, the redistricting is based on the census data at the time of collection.
That's right.
In the beginning,
so these are traditional accepted practices as according to the Supreme Court. So again, this is, we redistrict after the census comes out. So we need to make sure that the districts are balanced in terms of population. That is something that the Supreme Court has made clear, that's the law of the land. So you could say agricultural workers are a community of interest.
And illegal marijuana grow, I mean, if they're citizens, it's one thing, if they're trans and agricultural workers, but at this point, marijuana, for example, is not a usable agricultural.
They would have to articulate their argument that their community of interest is a community of interest, and they would have to do that to the board. I don't think they would do that if they're an illegal marijuana grow.
So it's not,
right, but
it's
it is definitely a community of interest because the culture and everything that you described. So, all right, well, that's good information. I was waiting for the other open public, but this is something I wanted to comment on too. Thank you.
Are there any others?
Did you wish to make a comment regarding the redistricting number ending in 9473? Hello? Did you wish to make a comment regarding redistricting?
No.
Okay, I'm going to mute you once again and come back to you later. Did you wish, a caller ending in 0599, did you wish to make a comment about redistricting? Caller ending in 9474, did you wish to make a comment regarding redistricting?
No, ma'am, I don't.
Thank you.
No, ma'am, I don't.
Thank you. That's all.
All right. Excellent. I'm going to close this hearing, and there'll be further hearings, as was on the PowerPoint there, as we move toward the close of this. I'm going to bring that back. Is there any discussion on the board? There is no action item today, so... Thank you.
Thank you.
approve the consent agenda, we'll go to presentations from the public. This time slot is from, excuse me, tongue-tied this morning. Start over. This time slot is for information from the public. No action or discussion will be conducted on matters presented at this time. You will be allowed 3 minutes for your presentation. The chair can extend the time to 5 minutes for appropriate circumstances. Written comments can be presented, if so desired, by providing a minimum of 7 copies to the clerk. When addressing the board, please state your name for the record prior to providing your comments. Please address the board as a whole through the chair, and comments should be limited to matters within the jurisdiction of this board. If you wish to make a public comment, a general public comment, please raise your hand by pressing *9 so we can recognize you.
Caller ending in 9473, you may unmute and submit your comment.
Morning.
Caller ending in 9473, it is your turn to speak. Please unmute. Hello?
Hello.
Go ahead, caller.
My name is C.J. Prohaska. I live in Big Springs. And I'd like to make some comments on this recent judge's decision. First of all, I'd like to thank you again for your efforts to stop this illegal marijuana growth. I noticed the judge's decision, it was kind of loaded with half-truths. There was a comment in there about poor well design. I don't know any other way to drill a well than to go straight down. And also, a lot of this camping that's camping in permits and whatnot, every time we go camping, we take our own water. We may take our pets, cats, dogs, and horses if the situation arises, but we don't take barnyard animals. There's farmers in this state up and down, they can't get water for food, yet the illegal marijuana grows still flourish in this area. We've had some fresh air this morning. By that I mean no smoke, but the proliferation of the marijuana smell has made its presence. I think the sheriff, if he needs some money for enforcement and maximum effort to eradicate these illegal marijuana grows. And lastly, I would say there's a community down in the southern part of the state, east of Salton Sea. It's called Slab City. And let's not turn our county into another slab city. Thank you, and God bless America.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller 6973, you may unmute and speak.
Good morning.
Hello.
Good morning. This is Holly Ann Silligan from the telephone.
Good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Hi. I wanted to take this opportunity at the public comment time to urge our county to please have some full forensic audit of the November 2020 election. I believe that even though nobody would mess with Texas, they also wouldn't mess with the two counties. However, just to be sure that that is the case, we might like to prove that the equipment that we use and the company that we use is foolproof, tax-proof, and that the paper ballots are accurate to what they were, as it looks like. There's some in the county who would like to go forward. I don't know if the contract is signed or what we're going to do on the 14th, but there seems to be a lot of
I've been following these things very closely. A lot of, not in our county, but trickery of like little holes in the ballots and things where it makes it easy for some things to go awry. And we want, you talked about in the past presentation, and women spoke about not having people's votes not count as being, not being prejudiced or however she worded that against certain groups of people. So I believe that everybody's vote should count, and I'd like to have approved that, please. And there is money available for that if we all agree, if you all agree to have a full corrective audit here in Cassoot County, California, ASAP of the November 3rd, 2020 election. Then we can take it from there. And I, in the meantime, I encourage that us to, yeah, go for the paper ballots. I'm waiting to see the report that came back from the auditor. I put in a freedom of information request, whatever, and I haven't seen it yet. I don't know if you've seen it, but at what price freedom, at what price your vote, at what price America, at what price Cassoot County, what price, I can't even talk, what price are standing on the ground and not being hoodwinked? And so let's just make sure that we have integrity, honesty, and I am following Jovan Hutton-Pulitzer, follow him on local, and he's a very interesting person to help with this stuff as far as making sure that what is and things are accurate. You know, that Arizona audit, a full forensic audit is just about to finish. There's a whole bunch of propaganda out, whole bunch of twisted information, and they're going to try to do the same thing with their California recall. They're going to blame the extremist Trump supporters. Well, it wasn't just the Trump supporters who signed the recall for the, our governor. So thank you very much for listening, and I do believe that there's, I'm not the only one who thinks that the 2020 election
time
was a myth. It's better now. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller ending in 9474. You may unmute. It's your turn to speak.
Good morning.
Caller 9474. You may unmute. It's your turn to speak.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to address the board. My name is Ginger Cimino, and I live out in Big Springs. The community of Big Springs is a bit discouraged by the ruling from Judge Miller, which was riddled by fabrications by the plaintiffs and less than honest witnesses. When did it become acceptable for citizens to purchase property and camp on this property, unconstrained by any required permit? Allowing this to continue, extending of camping on parcels, is prejudicing another group, the law-abiding citizens and population of this county. The community was harmed by the activity of water extraction last year, which was 30 wells compared to the 4 wells this year, supported by data within the dry well database. Your actions, your county actions, prove that it was successful. I want to share some facts with you. In 39 days captured on my security camera, 859 non-potable water, delivered water, not humans for human consumption, to growing areas. 239 of these extractions was from Dean Moore, formerly Inlow's parcel. 247 extractions from Daryl Souza's parcel. If I look at only $5,000 per extraction, that's $2,430,000 money which this county could use to enforce the law currently on the books. We encourage our county to go after the bad actors, enforce the rules, get the money, and protect the community. Thank you for everything that you've done. That's all. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Next caller.
COPCO crew, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Thank you very much. This is Chrissy Reynolds at COPCO Lake. I also have on the phone Linda Ebert here. So we want to let the board know that we have some concerns about the lowering water levels here at Copco, and the work that is being done by Res, the company that has been hired by the KRRC to do this restoration of the vegetation out here. We, number one, our main concern is how that they can be doing this type of work when DMF removal has not been approved yet. Just seems to be part of the predetermined outcome that they're moving forward. We've had people walking the shoreline here and surveying what they determined to be invasive species of plants. And when confronted and asked about how they were going to be removing these plants, we cannot get a straight answer out of them. We don't know if they plan on using herbicides and pesticides, or we've seen what they've done with the weed eating down at Iron Gate. And we want to know, first of all, how can they do that? Is it legal for them to be doing that? Because there are many species of endangered flora and fauna here that rely on these plant species next to the shoreline. And it also is part of our enjoyment of looking out our windows and seeing, you know, this beautiful vegetation that they're threatening to remove, which will affect our property values. If, you know, right now we have beautiful tules and bulrushes and stuff, and they determine that that is a non-native species that they're gonna eradicate, what happens to all of the, you know, the frogs and the different species that live in these environments? So that's number one, is that they're pursuing this without, you know, where's their permit to show that it's been approved yet? We're concerned about them moving forward, and also the lowering lake levels. That's our fire suppression. You know, we're sitting here like sitting ducks, as you know, and right now there's no water in Shasta, Lake Shasta, there's no water in Emigrant Lake, and this is one of the last, these two reservoirs are the last bits of water around here that we can use for fire suppression, and it's disappearing rapidly by several feet
time.
Every day. Okay, Linda?
I'd just like to reiterate what Chrissy said. I was angered by the man who pulled up to our shoreline in a raft and got out and used his GPS handheld device to map out the invasive species, as Chrissy spoke about. We have some real tall, beautiful, green, verdant, wonderful-looking grass, and that's an invasive species, and we even called it something canary grass. They would take that out. He is a man who had been hired by the Europe tribe, apparently, and a botanist, and he's now employed by PacifiCorps, and they directed him to map out what they consider, as Chrissy said, invasive species. It's beautiful, what he called canary grass, would disappear, and they would plant fescue in its place. That would not anchor the shoreline, for one thing, and help prevent erosion, but it is also, as Chrissy mentioned, wonderful habitat for a lot of species, including deer, who often have their fawns in the tule grass that he called the bulrushes. And we're really upset by this claim of invasive species needing to be torn out. And as Chrissy mentioned, how are they going to do this? Spray pesticides and herbicides all over the shoreline here, right next to our dock. And we're almost dry docked. We have a long dock out into the lake, and it is almost dry docked now. The water is so low. I was just angered by this plan of theirs to do what they intend on doing. Thank you. It's Linda Ebert on Costco.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you. What's next?
Jennifer Dickinson, it is your turn to speak. Jennifer?
Good morning. To the next one.
Caller 0599, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Charlene Watkins. I live in Big Spring. I have the case that Judge Mueller decided on, and I'm very basically discouraged by the fact that on page 6 it talks about the county residents, people that are citizens here, prejudging among people as outlaws, spreading false rumors, brandished weapons at them, shot at their cars, stolen their belongings, told them to go back where they came from, and advocated arson and vigilantism. This is a bunch of baloney. The residents out here, the permanent residents, citizens that actually live in homes have been intimidated by these people, these illegal pot growers. They've been run off the road. We had a near miss almost a head on with a guy that's on his phone that was of Asian descent. He was one of the big shots out here. We've had people drive by our home, which is off of A-12, and have actually had someone pull over and take a dump and urinate on the side of our property and leave toilet paper. So this is a bunch of baloney. They have posted stuff on Facebook in regards to the person that was at the courthouse starving himself supposedly. And this is one of the things they said. Good job, guys. Let's hope all the gangsters go on a rampage and F shit up so the government can even look at this mess. They don't care if you starve yourself. Wishing the best for you all. F the pigs. These are people that are calling themselves a community out here. Give me a break. It says, do you have a better plan if peaceful protest doesn't work? We've seen firsthand the type of results we get here in Minnesota when peaceful protest isn't working. I mean, these people are not residents. They're from Minnesota, Wisconsin, New York, Colorado, Oregon, and they're calling themselves a community. Here's another one. You guys need to riot and burn down stores to get the white attention. Who's racist? Who's really racist here? This is very disturbing to me. What are Hmong people waiting for? Tear down and run down the county, just like how the BLM did it, and they will act. The only way to get a response
time
from a deadbeat sheriff. This is disgusting to me. Please don't tell me these people aren't community. They're all criminals. Thank you very much for listening to me. I appreciate what the Board of Supervisors and the sheriff is doing. The sheriff needs more people. Please hire more people for this sheriff. He's a terrific guy. Thank you.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller ending in 0937, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak. Caller ending in 0937, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak. Hello?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I will remain anonymous. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this morning. I ask that you continue your efforts on the fight against the illegal marijuana grows. There is nothing that can come from these illegal grows that is beneficial in any way to society. They are destructive at every level. I implore you to allocate funds to the sheriff's office. This county was targeted because of the ratio of law enforcement and its citizens. We need more law enforcement personnel. We have county personnel that are not doing their jobs because they are afraid. Personnel that are getting a paycheck but cannot fulfill their position that is so important to the county as a whole. Important records are not being kept up to date. Revenue is not being brought in by permit violations. How can the county function effectively at this level? Enforcement is necessary to generate the revenue to continue to fight illegal operations. I ask that you direct funds to the sheriff's office as soon as possible. I am also surprised and appalled that the county made the time, effort, and expense to go after the Franklin family farm, a family that got creative in trying to bring in revenue for their family by providing a venue for weddings and entertainment, something positive and uplifting. Yet you have an environmental disaster with illegal pot roads, open sewers, unpermitted greenhouses, shacks, and squatting. You have untold code violations that you cannot even address because of scared personnel. You have residents who have cried out continuously for help. Where are the priorities here? Again, I implore you to direct funds to the sheriff's office for help in getting your county personnel into the field so they can do their job. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller ending in 4476, you may unmute. It is your turn to speak.
Hi, this is Jennifer Dickinson. I tried to come in on my Zoom and it wouldn't let me. But the thing is there's two people here. We're right outside the Board of Supervisor meeting. My name is Jennifer Dickinson and Bob Rice. And I'm just going to make one comment on the order that the Honorable Judge Mueller put in place on Friday. And that's on page 26. He told you exactly how you can circumvent the illegal pot growers. On page 26 of her order, she says to enforce the code. That means that you need to get with code enforcement and the sheriff, and you need to go out there and abate these properties that are violating county code. Thank you for my time, and now I'm going to turn this over to Bob Rice. You're on.
I'm Bob Rice, retired forest supervisor of the Klamath National Forest. And prior to the termination of the franchise agreement, ordinance number 2005, I was asked by the two Board of Supervisors members to legally review what would be a beneficial revision for the 2021 ordinance to Pacific Corps. My training and experience as a public land and water administration required a search of laws, specifically state laws, since the four franchise utilities are in California and are governed by the state's delegated constitutional authorities. Of special note was the Siskiyou County Flood Control Water Conservation District and the amendments to the Dinuba Act, referred to as the Broughton Amendment. I was notified that public hearings were on the horizon, but did not know that staff was also negotiating with Pacific Corps and would continue to do so while public hearings were taking place. Obviously, we've never had the opportunity to review the work that was done between staff and the people that were engaged with the power company, and therefore I now take the position that until such time as we have had the opportunity to review what has been offered by PacifiCorp, it would be time to have a new public hearing. So new public hearings must be scheduled so that the public has a review opportunity and make sure law protocols are followed for California facilities. Secondly, political and protocol requires that the hearings be conducted through the board of directors of the Siskiyou County Flood Control Water Conservation District, as they authorize the sale of hydropower electricity and utilize payment in lieu of taxes for that effort. The California Act of 1964 included the care for PacifiCorp to exercise a franchise payment for both the distribution system and production of the use of water for generation. Thank you for paying attention to what I had to say. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Next caller.
Caller ending in 0420. You may unmute. It is your turn to speak. Hello?
Hello, this is Richard Marshall, and I'm President of the Siskiyou Water Users Association, and I'm speaking in regard to the proposed extension, which is on the agenda for today. And I bring two points for consideration that need to be added. One is that the ordinance which is being considered, the extension, is actually about the second or third one. The original one expired, original franchise agreement expired in December 2020. And in that connection, what should be added to this agreement is Clause J, which would provide that PacifiCorp would agree to pay retroactively the differential payment for the franchise agreement based upon the original termination date in 2020. So in effect, if the new number is $400,000 a year and they've been paying $200,000, they'd have to pick up 2 years of $200,000 a piece to be in conformance with the revised agreement. Also, I would second the comments made by Bob Rice about the issue of the new franchise agreement that's being prepared, evidently, or being negotiated, that there should be full disclosure to the public prior to the first meeting. Thank you.
No more comments online.
Is that all?
That's all.
Council, can you address the last two callers with regard to this hearing? This is not the final. We're seeing now basically what has been negotiated, and we're moving with an amendment, that's my understanding, today, so that this is going to be the first reading still and going into the second. Is that correct?
Correct. If you're talking about item 9D, which is a franchise agreement with PacifiCorp, this will be the first reading because it was evidently a change made necessitating that.
Correct. Thank you. So there is another opportunity for the public to look at this final draft, I'll call it now, with the amendment and comment future.
That's correct.
Thank
yes.
you.
Can you, another question, can you speak to the requirement of having the directors of the Flood Control and Water Conservation District for the hearing protocol rather than under general hearing protocols?
Let's, if we bring that up, I'd like to have Natalie Reed address that, because that's, she's been the one heading this up, and I think she'd be better better to speak to that.
I will bring that up then before I start the hearing protocol.
Okay.
All right. Consent agenda. Any wishes to pull any items?
Nothing is going to be pulled. Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to pull P.
P like Paul?
P like Paul.
Thank you.
Okay. That's it.
That's all I'm seeing.
So I would move to approve the balance of the consent agenda with the exception of P, as in Paul.
Motion in a second, Wendy.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yes.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Health?
Aye. Regarding P, I've been beating on this for quite a while regarding the smoking bags on public health. I guess what I'm wanting is some follow up with this. I'd like to see what the actual health concerns or statistics are regarding this. I tried to get that a couple of years ago. We were unsuccessful, but I think that's a proper protocol follow-up for a resolution, not just declaring an emergency. They'd like to see the magnitude of the emergency.
Angela Davis, County Administrator. I will go ahead and follow that inquiry with public health and report back to the board with that information.
Thank you. And with that, I'll move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Kobzeff?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Health?
Aye. So, do you need a break?
I could take a couple minutes.
Let's take five.
Yeah.